Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want to look there. Whenever you find your place there, we'll go to Hebrews chapter number 12 also. Look at two different verses tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12 and Ephesians chapter number 4. And we'll look at a few verses. As you're finding your place tonight, I want to start a series tonight. And I don't know how many messages I'll preach on it. We'll just preach the Lord says quit preaching on it. But I want to start a series tonight on bitterness and overcoming bitterness in our life. And I hope that you'll pray for us, and I hope that God will help us. Let me back up and rephrase that. I know God will help us if we'll allow God to help us. Amen. And I want to look at it. In looking at this tonight, and as we go through this in this series, I'll probably preach more topical than I normally do. And you know that 99% of the time I preach expository, just line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse. Amen. And that is by far my favorite style of preaching. And you say, why? Well, I guess just because it is. And I think that there is a danger whenever you preach topical of taking things out of context. And in one of the classes I taught in Bible college was preaching 101. And you cannot teach someone how to preach, but you can teach someone how to prepare. Can I say that again? Preaching is the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. We can't preach without the anointing of God. We may stand up and speak, but Brother Cody, we know it takes the filling of the Holy Spirit of God to help us preach. However, we can learn how to prepare to preach, amen? And the first part of that is this, praying. Amen. Whenever you're preparing for a Sunday school lesson, whenever you're preparing to sing, whenever you prepare for anything, man, you ought to bathe that in prayer, amen? But when it comes to bitterness tonight, I'm going to preach a lot of topical outlines through this, but I will stay in context, amen? That's the important part, and see what the Lord will give us. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to begin there, and I want to read you two verses in Ephesians chapter number 4. Look with me in verse number 30. Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'm going to try my best to be time conscious. I know we've got choir practice afterwards, but at the same time, I don't want to rush the Lord tonight. Somebody say amen. Verse number 30 says this of Ephesians chapter number 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I find it very interesting that he says in verse number 30 to not grieve the Spirit of God. He's dealing with that grievance of the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say this before. If I do something that grieves God, I've got Jesus to go on my behalf. Are you with me? He's our intercessor. If I do something to grieve Jesus, I've got the Holy Spirit to go on my behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. But if I grieve the Holy Spirit of God, there's nobody else to make intercession for me. And he says not to grieve or to quench the Spirit of God. Now it's very interesting. The next verse is verse 31. Let all bitterness. Wow, now isn't that interesting? He just talked about grieving the Spirit of God and then go straight to bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, he says, verse 32, let's just pick it up while we're there. It's a good one. And by the way, there's no bad scripture in the Bible. Amen. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Watch this, forgiving. Can I just sum up the series on bitterness real quick? You got to learn that word right there. You'll never get over bitterness. Forgiving. They never asked me to forgive them. It don't matter. You'll come out a whole lot further ahead in this ball game if you'll I'm preaching real good. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If God can forgive you, why can't you forgive someone else? Look at this, Hebrews chapter number 12. And look in verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What did he say? He said the root of it. The root. You see, here's the problem. If you don't get rid of the root, it's going to develop into something else. Are you hearing me? Every massive oak tree today started out as just a root in the ground. And every individual that's dealing with bitterness today, it all started with just one word. Are you with me? Just one saying, just one phone call, sometimes just something that was said that nobody ever even meant anything by, but you was having a bad day and you took it the wrong way. And now for 15 years, you've hated that person's guts. Oh, but preacher, I don't have no problem with bitterness. Well, is there any name that I could call that would make your blood pressure go up? Then you've got a problem with bitterness tonight. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. It's already quiet. There ain't nobody going to say amen. We might as well put the choir back up and go home. I want to talk to you about bitterness tonight and overcoming bitterness. Father, I love you. God, I appreciate our church tonight, and I appreciate what you're doing in it. God, I thought as the choir was singing and in the special singing, God, that I could have got up and exhorted 10 or 15 minutes, Father, on the goodness of God and the blood of Jesus. And Father, we'd have just had camp meeting. But God, I really believe right here's where you want us at tonight, and this subject of overcoming bitterness in our life. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our remembrance, God, the things that I've studied. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would preach through me and speak through me tonight. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I've read I don't know how many books in recent days, and if not in entirety, definitely a large portion on them on the subject of bitterness. Let me read you the introduction or the foreword in one of those books that I've been reading. Here's what it says. The reality of life is that most of the time it never makes any sense. I read that first line, Brother Brian, and I stopped for probably 15 minutes and just thought on that and digested what the author just said. Can I say it to you again? The reality of life is that most of the time it never makes any sense. If we could live life with a futuristic perspective, the current pains would be tomorrow's pleasant memories. I've had the opportunity of witnessing many people weighted down with a root of bitterness. It seems that time has helped many of these people bury their bitterness. The writer goes on to say, I've pastored people that were bound by bitterness. The cause of this bitterness would be clothed in various disguises, but the characteristics and the consequences are always the same. The mighty monster of bitterness has raised its head out in the local workforce. I have witnessed bitterness destroy families and leave its victims strewn on the streets called stubbornness. I want to recognize those that have found help and healing for the root of bitterness that would have destroyed them. We have modern day champions that have defeated foes of bitterness. The battle may not have been won, listen to this, in a day, in a month, or even a year, but the battle was won in the trenches, and the fearsome foe fell by the wayside. I admire those that have faced the truth concerning bitterness and done something about it. You've heard me make this statement many times, and I'll make it again tonight. The only way that we will ever get help for problems that we are having is by recognizing and admitting that we have a problem. We can sit here tonight and we can say, well, I don't battle bitterness tonight. If you have to tell yourself you're not battling bitterness tonight, then you're probably battling bitterness tonight. Are you hearing me preach? How can we overcome this? Let's just look by way of introduction at bitterness tonight, and then next Sunday night we'll really jump into this. A bitter person is a selfish person. If a person is bitter, they can only focus on their own personal pain. A bitter person looks at their own pain with a preciseness of a microscope, but blindly ignores the pain of others. In other words, their life is simply just all about them. It's not about anybody else. It's not about anybody else's feelings. It's all about their self. The person that willingly exposes the bitterness will realize that the bad taste in their mouth was practically ruined them with socially. It's practically ruined them socially, spiritually, and emotionally. The pill of bitterness is so hard to swallow. But once it has been swallowed, it is even harder to digest. I want to say this to you tonight. Bitterness has destroyed some great servants of God. Bitterness has destroyed some great men of God. Bitterness has destroyed some great Christians. Why? Because they simply couldn't get over it. The person that has embraced bitterness is like the bully on the playground that walks around challenging everyone to knock the chip off of their shoulder. If we would be honest with ourselves, this bully has taunted and tormented many of us to the point of true physical exhaustion. You know what? It's actually been proven and been stated by doctors that the reason for death was because of bitterness. They had became so bitter in their self that it exhausted them physically and truthfully caused medical conditions in their life. Bitterness tonight. What did he say? He said, let all bitterness be put away from us. Let it be put away from us. A certain man went to the doctor and told the doctor he was hurting all over his body. The doctor wanted to know the specifics of this man's pain. The man told him when he touched his foot that it hurt. When he touched his nose that it hurt. When he touched his hand that it hurt. He proceeded to touch various areas of his body. With each touch, the doctor noticed his pain was very real. The doctor diagnosed the man with a broken finger. Did you catch that? With a broken finger. You said, preacher, what are you saying? The bitter person finds pain in nearly every area of their life and often fails to properly diagnose the root of their misery. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. The reality of their misery comes from one simple thing. The root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. One writer said this. I know from personal experience how damaging it can be to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. I like to say, it's like, and you heard me say this morning, it's like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die. You know who is affected the most by bitterness tonight? You. If I am bitter, you know who is affected the most by it? It's me. I thought about this. How many times have I talked in 18 years of pastoring? Brother Ramsey, you've pastored. I know Dad's pastored. And how many times have we sat and talked to people, and the whole time the conversation was about how such and such done me wrong and this and this and this and this. But such and such is living their life. Such and such is going about their life, and Brother Josh, nothing's wrong in their life. But here we sit, everybody okay? Here we sit, bitter, angry, our stomach tore up to the point that we can't eat. Why? Because of what such and such did, but such and such could care less. Who becomes the loser in bitterness? I said this morning. It's us. A bitter experience, can I say this to you tonight, is not a sin. Did you hear what I just said? A bitter experience is not a sin. We all have bitter experiences, and we cannot control how others treat us. I can't control the way you treat me. You know what? After service tonight, you may come up to me and let me have and tell me how sorry of a preacher and a pastor I am, how bad of a job I'm doing here at the church. I cannot control that, but what I can control is the way I react to that. Will it hurt my feelings? Yes, but you know what? I'm 45 years old. I've got a wife and three daughters. I live with hurt feelings all the time because nothing I do in the house is right. What I can control is how I react to bitter situations. What I can control is how I react to it. When the situation deals with us instead of us allowing that situation to take us over and become sin, we can take that situation over with the help of the Lord and have victory over it. Bitterness can be towards another person for hurting you. Can I say that again? You know what? We are the world's worst to live with this mentality and want everybody to think this. And I know I'm preaching different tonight than I normally do, but just stay with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, you liar. You're such a liar. You need to read Revelation 21:8. You know what it says, don't you? All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The girls sing this, Revelation 21:8. Liars go to hell, liars go to hell, burn, 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 burn. It's the truth tonight. Words hurt us, Brother Scotty. And can I say something to you tonight? When words have left your mouth, they can never return to your mouth. Once you have said something to your spouse, and I'm not preaching to the married tonight, but let me just say this. Once you've said something to them, you can say, I'm sorry, a million times, and they can forgive you, but they will never forget the words that you said. You can say things to your children, and you can ask them to forgive you because you said it out of anger, but they'll never forget once words, hey, I thought about this, bitterness can be towards another person because of hurt. It can be towards God, listen to this, for God allowing the problem to come into your life or the storm to come into your life that you're in. I was talking to a preacher today, and I want you to hear me out, okay? Don't you judge me when I say what I'm fixing to say. Hear me out. I was talking to a preacher today, and I was sharing a special prayer request with him. And I said, man, I don't understand why God won't answer this request. I know based on the authority of God's word, it's God's will for this to happen. We can know the will of God from the Bible tonight. There's some things, man, that you don't even have to think about. It is the will of God. Amen. To be saved, it's the will of God. Amen. We don't even have to think about that. And I told him, I said, I don't understand why God will not answer this request. I said, but I'm just trusting Him that He will in days to come. Sometimes things will happen in your life and you'll turn and look at God and you'll say these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you'll say them in a different tone, in a different attitude than the Lord Jesus Christ said them. And if you're not careful, you'll become bitter towards God for what God allowed to happen in your life. We'll question God. Questioning God is not a sin. Jesus questioned God, but when we do it wrongly with a wrong attitude and with anger and malice and bitterness in our heart, then it becomes sin. And if we're not careful, situations will happen. Why did I lose my job? Why am I going through this health crisis in my life? Why have I lost a loved one? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And we become bitter towards God for allowing things in our life. Bitterness can be towards self. We can become bitter at ourself because of our failures and our lack of doing things that we know we should do. This is why I know bitterness is a common problem. Say, why? Well, because we've all been hurt. And can I just time out just 30 seconds? Just 30 seconds, okay? Maybe a minute. I'm so tired of hearing about church hurt. And hear me out. Church hurt is real. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm so tired of people taking church hurt and going home and sitting down on the couch and never going back to the house of God. We all get hurt. Are you hearing me? But we cannot stop serving God because we've been hurt. We can't. Hey, look. Hey, Jesus was hurt. Are you with me? Jesus was hurt. We never went through nowhere close to what Jesus went through, and He didn't quit. Yes, we're going to get hurt. Yes, we're going to have problems. Yes, there's going to be times that we even fail ourselves, and we know that we do. But we must not allow bitterness to overtake our life because of that. In choosing bitterness, it is like a person burning down the house just to kill a rat. The bitter person chooses to live in seclusion, but when bumped, they will splatter you with words of mass destruction. Boy, how true that is. Let me show you three things. Number one, I see the mention of bitterness in the Bible. This is just an introduction. I'm headed somewhere. The mention of bitterness in the Bible. Know with me again what he says there in Ephesians 4:31. He says, let all bitterness be put away from us. Again in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. When you study the word bitterness in the Bible, you'll find out that it's mentioned 22 times in 21 different verses. The word bitter is also mentioned 38 times, and the word bitterly is mentioned 9 different times in the Bible. When you study bitterness in the Bible, and we're going to look at different people that dealt with bitterness in their life, but when you study it, it's all throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, let me tell you, the first time we see it, the application of it in the Bible, I really believe this, it was with Cain and Abel. I believe that's the first time that we see the principle of bitterness in the Bible. And all throughout the Bible, there's bitterness, but there's one of two things. There's those that killed others because of bitterness. And then there's those such as Ruth, boy, I can't wait to preach on that one, that got victory over her bitterness. You see, whenever you study the mention of bitterness, and I'm going to move past this, but you'll find out that when Ruth came back, or not Ruth, but when Naomi came back from Moab, when she got back to Bethlehem, Judea, here's what she said. She said, call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara. She said, call me bitter. I've went out full and I've come home empty. And now I'm bitter. My husband's dead. My boys are dead. Oh, but God continued to bless her. And there was victory over her bitterness in the Word of God. So there's the mention of it. Number two, watch this. I see the meaning of bitterness. What does bitterness mean? Well, I looked it up in several different dictionaries. The 1828 Webster's Dictionary says this: in a figurative sense, extreme enmity. Watch this word, grudge. Grudge. Y'all know what that is, don't you? A grudge. Bless God, I'm telling you right now, I ain't going back over there. I mean, I ain't bitter. I ain't got no problem. I ain't going, though. Why you feel it necessary to tell me that? Are you with me? It's a grudge. That's what bitterness is. Some of you wives may need to come to the altar before I go any further because of the grudge you got. Two or three of the men said, that's right. It's a grudge. Watch this. Let's move. Hatred. Hatred. Well, I don't like them. I have to love them because the Bible said too. I don't like them. You don't love them. You just quit trying to fool yourself, man. You're bitter. Amen. I thought about this. Sharpness. Severity of temper. I found this interesting. Biting sarcasm. You can go study this out in 1828. Keen sorrow. Painful affliction. Vexation. Deep distress of mind. Hannah was in bitterness of her soul in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Dictionary.com said this, it's harsh. An acid taste that is one of the four basic taste sensations. The Blue Letter Bible said it's gall, it's extreme wickedness. What about that? You look this word up in the Greek, when you go to blueletterbible.com, you don't use that, man, you're missing out. It says this, extreme wickedness. What it says it is, bitter root, and so produces a bitter fruit. I'll tell you the reason your kid may struggle with some of the things that they struggle with, because you sowed a root of bitterness in their life, and now it's producing bitter fruit. The person that has allowed the root of bitterness to bind them has experienced something that has placed an unpleasant taste in their mouth. If one allows themselves to kiss the devil, they must also realize that his kiss will suck the very life from their existence. Bitterness will change your outlook towards life and living. The bitter cup leaves an aftertaste that cannot easily be removed. We not only allow tasting this bitter water, but we will beckon sorrow and pain to dwell in our hearts. Bitterness, listen to this. Listen to this. Bitterness is self-induced misery. Boy, I read that in a definition when different writers was talking about what they thought bitterness. It's self-induced misery. It's you... Man, I'm telling you, I wish I could have thought of that, Brother Lloyd, but that's good stuff. It's you allowing yourself to live in misery because of something somebody else done that you had no control over. Again, I cannot control what you do to me, but I can control the way I react to that. Oh, would they done this and they done this and they done this? So what, man? Quit. Hey, listen to me. Quit causing your family to live through what they're living through because you're mad at somebody else. Because you're bitter at well, I'm telling you, you don't know what they did to me at the job place. Quit taking it out on your spouse. Quit taking it out on your children. You don't know what happened in that closed door meeting with the preacher. Quit taking it out on your spouse. Quit taking it out on your children, man. Give it to the Lord. It's self-induced misery. I read a quote from Harry Emerson. Here's what he said. He who chooses the beginning of the road chooses the place it leads to. It is the means that determines the end. And when you choose to take a detour on the road of bitterness, you choose to suffer the consequences that comes along with it. I say number one, the mention. Number two, the meaning. Number three, I'm done. I know I'm preaching different, but man, I want to help us through this series. I want to help me through this series. Said, preacher, are you struggling with bitterness? I don't think I am. I don't think I am. Daddy, we was eating supper last night. He made mention of somebody, and I said, well, good. He said, got a little bitterness? I said, nope. He said, okay. Bitterness tonight. You know what? We'll sit around and we'll say that we don't struggle with this. But we do. But we do. Watch this, number three. The misgivings of bitterness. The misgivings of bitterness. The greatest fear that should face the embittered person is thinking it will not affect their life. A lot of times we say that, well, it only affects me. It only affects me, hear me and hear me well, it affects way more than you. The fact of this bitterness is more deadly than the most fatal cancer. The disease of cancer will eventually suck the life right out of its victims. The despicable disease of bitterness will kill on the inside, but is cunning enough to allow its victims to keep on living on the outside. And understanding bitterness, please allow the fact that most of its victims are not in the graveyard, but they are dead men walking in every facet of life. Boy, how true that is. How true that is. If you want to understand bitterness, go to the fire of a bitter person. A bitter person will gather their own wood of hatred, resentment, envy, and place these sticks upon their fire. In every instance, the bitter person will not allow their past hurt to be forgotten. It is not acceptable to forget, lest the fire goes out. The embittered will stoke the cold embers afresh with their bloody memories. The embittered cannot allow forgetfulness to creep into their private refuge of hatred and hostility. You see, come start playing softly through it. The misgiving of bitterness is this. The misgiving of bitterness is this. We think it don't affect us when it really, really does. There's one key word, and we'll look at it as we go through this. It's one key word to overcoming bitterness. I'll tell you what it is. Forgiveness. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. 17 years here at the church, almost 18 now. Brother Robert, we've said and talked about, you've been in meetings with me when people has attacked me, attacked my character. You know, I've got one of two things I can do with that, Brother Scotty. I can hold a grudge, the meaning of bitterness, towards that individual, or I can just let it go. You know what I think? Me and Brother Aaron, I love Brother Aaron. I miss him today. Me and Brother Aaron, we talk a lot, especially if I've got a decision that I've got to make, if it's something that I'm praying over, and I'll just bounce it off Brother Aaron. And I was talking to him today, and I told him, I said, man, I'm going to have to make a decision on this. It's something that we had been talking about for a couple months now. And I said, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the direction it's going. And let me just time out. I've said this before, let me say it again. I deal with things besides church things, okay? So it's nothing to do with our church, okay? So don't everybody think, oh Lord, the preacher's fixing to leave, we're fixing to bust up. It has nothing to do with our church, okay? And I told Brother Aaron, I said, here's the conclusion I've had to come to. He said, what's that? I said, they're not spiritual minded. They're not spiritual minded. They're not spiritual minded. Brother Elijah, sometimes we work with a lot of people and the things that we do, and they're not spiritually minded. So when you try to think spiritually minded around them, and you try to understand why they are acting the way that they're acting, and they treat you the way that they treat you, they're not spiritually minded. Are you with me? So I've got one or two things. I can hold a grudge against that, or I can just forget that and understand they're not spiritually minded. If you're not careful, you will allow people that's not even truly saved they may have a form of godliness, but they're not truly saved because bitterness set in your life. We think, well, it's not going to, oh, it'll bother us. I give you this quote in closing, this phrase out of a book. The embittered has located the enemy, and the enemy is himself. The embittered looks their enemy in the eye as they shave. The fact is that many of us have had occasion to become bitter. The difference is that most of us has forfeited our right of failing to forgive. The embittered man or woman has never forfeited this right and will only do so if it is wrestled from their bloody grasp. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. In order for you to get over your bitterness, you're going to have to learn to forgive. You're going to have to learn to forgive. There's the mention of it. There's the meaning of it. There's this misconception, if you want to put it that way. Bitterness don't hurt nobody but me. It's only, no, it hurts everybody around you. The way that we learn to get past that, church, we look at everything, every aspect of our life, we can find the answer for it right here. Christ chose to forgive his enemies. Christ even chose to forget. We can't do that because we're not supernatural. We're not Christ. We're still in the flesh. One day we'll be in the spirit and we'll be able to forget it. But we can choose to forgive.